It's also the day before December 1st, which is World AIDS Day, and there's going to be several things in the community relevant to that, one of which is two nights of a play, which is going to be taking place at what's kind of emerging as a, to some extent, new playhouse and to some extent, new drama collective and all kinds of things that we'll talk about before we even get into talking about the play, The Normal Heart. Chris Jensen's been on the ground floor of this. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Bruce.
And you had a previous performance last summer of a really interesting play about 30s Germany.
Right. It was Tony Kushner's play, A Bright Room Called mm-hmm. Day, about the early days of Hitler's rise mm-hmm. in Berlin.
Mm-hmm. And so the collective, I'm going to call you a collective, I don't know what
sure,
you call
works.
Yourselves, is called Actors Budio, and I'll go ahead and explain the Budio part because it's in my neighborhood. The Buddhist temple right next door has a kind of what was once just an auditorium, a simple unvarnished auditorium, and then for a long time it became the karate studio and was legendary in the neighborhood for that. And then it has been taken over as a really interesting multi-purpose space. Beautiful work done on it, beautiful new floor.
Absolutely.
And a lot of things like that. So it's a space kind of waiting for, and so it's kind of, and then it also now features a lot of yoga, right? So therefore, Budio, Buddhist studio, it's a wonderful combined word of Budio, B-U-D-D-H-I-O. For the space. Did you just happen upon it or needed a space for your previous play?
I had started doing yoga there.
Oh, there
and
you go.
I loved the space. I got to know Sean Brow a little bit. Mm-hmm. She's been involved in theater in various ways for a long time. She was on the board at Civic years ago. She refers to herself as the Budio mistress.
That's good.
But
more metaphors.
Right. And I don't know how it all came, but we started talking about how this would be a great performance space. And she'd been thinking along those lines for a long time. And it struck me as especially a good place for things like readings and maybe little concerts and because until maybe you sort of build out the stage a little bit more. But right now it's ready to go for these kind of more stripped back sorts of events.
Mm-hmm. And this will be a Reader's Theater event of The Normal Heart. And I guess we should get in talk about the play, The Normal Heart. It's a play that's been around for a few decades.
Right. It was written in 1985 by Larry Kramer, who's an activist in New York, and he was one of the founders of the Gay Men's Health Collective. That was one of the first organizations that really tried to get its hands around what was happening in the gay community when AIDS emerged around mm-hmm. 1981, mm-hmm. and tried to get a response from the federal government, from the city government, just from anybody. Mm-hmm. And they were having a really hard time, especially in New York City. And so this play was...
Or one might say even in New York City.
Right,
really?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, San Francisco was having an easier time getting some attention and getting some coverage in the paper, for example, and also getting some attention from City Hall.
But I suspect Omaha was having a more
difficult
time.
And I think Phoenix was probably not up there either. You're right, absolutely. And so it was first performed in 1985, which if you know much about the sort of trajectory of the AIDS crisis, this was very early. I mean, I don't think AIDS even had that name yet at this point. It was still called GRID. So the disease as we know it was in its very early stages. And so when you think about this play in those terms, it's really remarkable. Mm-hmm. And it is a very angry, very... this play is not subtle. It's not trying to be subtle. It's trying to arouse to action. Mm-hmm. It's an activist piece of theater, but it's also a beautiful piece of theater too. Its invective and anger is beautifully written.
We'll get into the invectiveness and the anger in a little bit. Let's bring in another of the actors. You're all in the play not only as a director but an actor.
I'm not. Diana Trotter is directing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She's directing. Yeah. So you're the producer.
I'm the producer.
And Diana Trotter, a highly respected director whose day job is Whitworth University, is directing it. And Melody Dethridge, another... I'm sorry, we're going to call you this mainstay of theater in Spokane, is here. Was it easy to be enticed into this project?
Absolutely. Chris just sent me a message, are you available or interested? And it's yes to both. So
And why?
I acted in the A Bright Room Called Day presentation in August, and I love Reader's Theater. I love theater of the mind, radio theater, that style and genre. And I particularly love this particular play because of having lived through the times that it represents, and being the only female in the play, I feel a strong responsibility to represent, if you will. The character I'm playing is Dr. Emma Bruckner, and she's based on a New York doctor who was one of the first doctors to treat men with this new disease.
And as a doctor should be, and as we're about to hear in a moment when we get to the clip, they call it a clip, just like we call it tape, even though it doesn't exist. But you are the no-nonsense doctor, right?
Yes, she's basically telling men what to do to protect themselves, and they don't want to hear it. She's so passionate about trying to find a cure, trying to find a way through this, and because it is, she sees hundreds of cases and feels helpless in a way, but is relentless in her pursuit to find a cure, or at least a treatment.
And we're on our way to a clip from this, and let me give the disclaimer, because I need to say this, that the that certainly this clip is about sex. It's about gay sex. It's quite literal and medical in various ways, and so for the next few minutes, that's what we will be doing. And so if you care to turn your radio down or go away, that's what we'll be doing for probably 3 or 4 minutes, is a section from this play, The Normal Heart. Melody Dethridge as the doctor, and Chris Jensen as what character?
Ned Weeks, who's often referred to as the Larry Kramer character.
Okay, so let's hear this part from this play.
You've got to warn the living, protect the healthy. Help them keep on living. I'll take care of the dying.
They keep yelling at me that I can't expect an entire world to suddenly stop making love. And now I've got to tell them there's absolutely no such thing as safe sex?
I don't consider going to the baths and promiscuous sex making love. I consider it the equivalent of eating junk food. And you can lay off it for a while. And yes, I do expect it. And you get them to come sit in my office any day of the week, and they'd expect it too. Get a VCR, rent a porn film, and use your hands.
Why are you yelling at me for what I'm not doing? What is your side doing? Where's the AMA in all this? The government has not started one single test tube of research. Where's the board of directors from your very own hospital? You have so many patients, you haven't got rooms for them. And you've got to make Felix well. So what am I yelling at you for?
Who's Felix? Who is Felix?
I introduced you to him at that health forum you spoke at.
You've taken a lover?
We live together. Emma, I've never been so much in love in my life. I've never been in love. Late Friday night, he showed me this purple spot on the bottom of his foot. Maybe it isn't it. Maybe it's some sort of something else. It could be, couldn't it? Maybe I'm overreacting. There's so much death around. Can you see him tomorrow? I know you're booked up for weeks, but could you?
Tell him to call me first thing tomorrow, 7:30. I'll fit him in.
Thank you.
God. Oh, damn you.
I knew I should have told you.
What's done is done.
What are we supposed to do? Be with nobody ever? Well, it's not as easy as you might think. Oh, Emma, I'm so sorry.
Don't be. Polio is a virus, too. I caught it 3 months before the Salk vaccine was announced. Nobody gets polio anymore.
Were you in an iron lung?
For a while, but I graduated from college and from medical school first in my class. They were terrified of me. The holy terror in the wheelchair still are. I really scare people.
I think I do, too.
Learn how to use it. It can be very useful. Don't need anybody's love and approval.
A clip from a section from the play The Normal Heart, which will be Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Budio, which is in the Perry District. It's between 9th and 10th on Perry, on the east side of the street. Pretty easy to find, just across the street from where the farmers market usually is all summer. And we were just hearing Chris Jensen and Melody Dethridge in that section from it. Melody, simply from what we just heard, I can see why you wanted the part, because it's just an amazing persona to play, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. There's a wonderful scene where she is in front of a panel of doctors, and to she's looking for research money and grants to pursue research. And the AIDS disease was woefully underfunded, certainly in its early days. And she has a wonderful, wonderful speech to them. And it, as an actress, it's just great to kind of find those levels and those play with those emotions. But overall, again, it's the what we're communicating and the message that it's sending to folks about what was happening then, and then to look at it from our perspective, you know, 30 plus years later.
Yeah, and so let's do that, because I mentioned that several things were going on around World AIDS Day, because Rent opens tonight at the, and that was such a total focus of Rent, and I'm going to be going tonight, and we're going to have an interview tomorrow about that, so we'll take up the same subject, that Rent has had to change its emphasis, because it is a different emphasis. But I guess putting it back to you, Chris, who was involved in choosing this play, what about this play now as opposed to 1985?
Well, I think one of the things that's really striking about it is that, so I'm 41. I was coming of age just at the very end of the really, what I would call the deep crisis period of AIDS in this country, which was about, I would say, from 1981 to 1997. 97 is when the protease inhibitors were introduced that actually made this more of a manageable kind of chronic condition. Until that point, people were dropping.
It was a death sentence.
It was a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And some people lasted for years, but there was no guarantee whatsoever. You could, I mean, an opportunistic infection could come in and just take you down. Mm-hmm. So I went to college in 95, so I was just coming of age when it was still kind of a crisis. I was very aware of the crisis because I'd grown up with the, you know, all this misinformation about AIDS. I grew up here in Spokane, and we were sometimes not getting the very...
Don't shake their hands, don't let them go to school.
Right, yes. Yeah, we weren't always getting the very, you know, latest information, I feel. And so I was very aware of it. And, you know, you have people now 20 years younger than I am, who think of it as, well, yeah, if I get that, I'll just take a pill a day, which is true, but it's still a major infection. It's still something to contend with, and it's certainly nothing to play with. And it was, and I think some of the cast members that we have who are younger were really kind of gobsmacked when they first read the play along with us that. I mean, I think one response was, this wasn't this bad. He's exaggerating, right? And, you know, that, you know, hundreds of people weren't dying in New York City. And yeah, they just aren't, many of them are just not as aware of this from a historical perspective. And so I think that's important to remind people that it was such a crisis, and that these groups of people, you know, particularly gay men, IV drug users, and hemophiliacs were just kind of being consigned to the dustbin, more or less, and we're not being taken seriously at the White House at all, and I think that's the other part of the story that I think is so important, is that inaction, the Reagan administration's complicity, I think, in my opinion, killing a lot of people through inaction, and. That kind of thing, just to be aware of what's happened in the past so that we can learn from it and keep it in mind for the future, even though we're not always so great at that.
Yeah. And so, you've essentially answered this, but talk a little bit more about for the younger people, what they're learning by and what your younger audience is going to learn by the intensity of going back and reliving the AIDS crisis.
Right. There's a remarkable speech in this play, delivered by the actor Dave Rideout, about how one of the characters is taking his boyfriend home to die in Phoenix. And he gets him on a plane, and at first the pilot won't fly the plane, and so they have to get another pilot. And then en route to Phoenix, his boyfriend, his partner, starts defecating.
Symptomatic.
It just becomes a crisis on the airplane, you know? And then when, by the time he gets him to Phoenix, he's dead. By the time he gets him to the hospital room that his mother has fixed up for him. But that's when the real problems, or one even more problems start, I should say, because none of the doctors would examine him for cause of death at this Phoenix hospital. And so they couldn't get him, take him to the morgue because there was no examining doctor. And an orderly eventually comes along and charges them, I think, $50 to put his body in a giant Glad bag. And this man and his mother-in-law essentially carry her son out to their car in a Glad bag and have to go around town and essentially extort someone to cremate the body for them for a ridiculous amount of money. Yeah. And I mean, people hear that now and they think there's no way that that kind of thing happened in America, but that was happening left and right. People were terrified of this disease. They didn't know. And I mean, even among in the gay community, you had landlords who they would understand that someone had AIDS and they would kick him out onto the street.
I remember that. It seemed like every week you'd hear some horror story about either a new way to get it. So avoid this, avoid that, or like Chris was relating, somebody being ostracized in some ridiculous way because of their fear.
And yet we can't be too judgmental here, because if some new horrible terminal disease comes along and we don't know, then that's going to be the case, and maybe that's another takeaway, because it's probably not the last
might not be
the last new. New thing that will come along.
One of the things that the points that the play makes several times, though, too, is that around the same time in the early 80s, there was this Tylenol scare where seven people nationwide died because of tainted Tylenol tablets. And that was the subject of multiple front page reports in The New York Times and millions or billions of dollars, a lot of funding, huge amounts of funding. When it was an important problem to solve. Yeah. Tylenol is a very common drug. That's understandable. But then comparing that to the hundreds of people who were dying from AIDS in New York alone during the same time period, where the New York Times didn't put it on the front page for years. And so, I mean, the lack of response from the media, from government, it was astonishing when you look back at it now. And of course, hindsight, et cetera. But it's... I hope we can do better.
Chris Jensen, who's talking right now, and earlier Melody Deathridge, we're talking about the play The Normal Heart, which is two nights, Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Budio, which is on Perry between 9th and 10th. Now that we've drilled in about as much gloom as we can, is the play unremitting gloom from beginning to end?
No, it is not.
No.
And that's one of our challenges in rehearsals, is finding those moments of levity and those moments where there's a scene in the second act between Melody and I where it's written so you could be really strident with it, but Diana Trotter, our director, is really pushing us to make it much more casual, because we're actually at brunch. And we've been talking about this presumably a lot, and you start to talk about things more casually, even if they are incredibly...
It's supposed to be, you know, conversation between friends. But also what I find upon hearing it again in rehearsal last night is the love between the characters and the joy they find and that dark humor they find even in their situation facing possible death.
Yeah, absolutely. The AIDS epidemic that began in 1980-81, and looking back on that to this 1985 play, The Normal Heart, Friday and Saturday night. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Melody
Deathridge and Chris Jensen.